in the present moment in a very focused and comprehensive way. And then the idea is that one should develop that skill and habit of present moment awareness, then that starts to manifest more and more in your daily life. So that in a conflict situation, you're not just reacting to what somebody says or their tone of voice or their body language, but you're able to be present to your own. You can be aware, oh, my heart's starting to beat a bit more quickly now, or starting, and just develop some calming technique in your mind, because you're presently aware of what is going on with you right now in this situation. So that the idea is that the more you develop these meditation techniques in a very kind of formal, even artificial way, you're developing particular skills, life skills, which then you apply in such situations with conflicts with children or difficulties with parents or whatever it might be. Well, if you have a flash or some kind of special experience in meditation, then it's probably not enlightenment. It's more likely to be a more temporary special phenomena. So when the major issue in communities and cultures in which people meditate a lot is that the overestimation of their achievements. And so many people believe they're enlightened when in fact they've had some meditation experience which will pass away. The enlightenment, as I understand it, as we practice and study in our tradition, it is a falling away of certain things. So it's not like you're attaining something. It means certain kinds of ways of looking at yourself and the world, certain negative qualities are now no longer there anymore. So it's not suddenly, you know, you've got a halo or a glow about you or something. And actually, you see a lot of people who are like really glowing people, they're not enlightened at all. That's quite misleading. I've got a bit wary of people that look really glowy and charismatic. My teacher, one of his most famous and key teaching is, he say, it's not sure. He said, this is the way you relate to your experience. He say, it's not sure. Don't be so sure about things, you know. So he said, when you like something very much, it's not sure, because it's the things you like and after a while you get bored with them. He said, I don't like this, I don't like that person. Well, it's not sure, it changes. And see how everything changes. Nothing is completely fixed or sure in this life. And this is developing a way of relating to experience in general. But he also applied this to enlightenment. So he said, so you think you're enlightened? He said, just teach yourself, it's not sure. So you don't even take that for granted. It means taking nothing for granted. And then you're safe. You know, the moment you think, now I'm an enlightened person, and I'm this and I'm that, then, you know, it's dangerous. But you stay with the present phenomena. What's your present experience? You know, saying, I'm enlightened, I'm not enlightened, I'm this, I'm that. That's something you're adding on to present experience. So the extent to which you're fully in touch with what's happening right now. Say, okay, I've meditated and I just feel full of loving kindness for all beings. You don't have to go the next step, therefore, you know, I must be enlightened. You say, well, this is what I'm experiencing right now. But let's look at this. Maybe tomorrow it will disappear. So there's always that sense of being aware of what's happening right now in the body and mind, and being very wary, even suspicious of labels for things.
Last question, please. I think all of us know that impermanence, everybody knows that we're going to go away soon. But in spite of that, the suffering is there. People still inflict suffering at each other. And when you look at ourselves, we don't want to suffer. But still, with that knowledge,
Well, we have, you know, we have intellectual knowledge, but that's not an experiential knowledge. So, you know, a basic Buddhist teaching is that one day we are going to be separated from everyone we love. You know, to be very blunt, there are two alternatives. The person you love will die before you do, or you'll die before they do. But you're going to face separation. Probably to begin with from grandparents and then parents, sooner or later, everybody is faced with the truth of separation. That's just inseparable from our life. Now, we can, I think all of us hear that, and I don't think anybody would disagree. I don't think it's not possible to argue that. And we may think, well, yes, we have some sort of wisdom and understanding of human life. But what happens when we are suddenly separated from someone we love? Suddenly we find someone we love has cancer or is in an accident and dies suddenly. Then it's like all the knowledge and understanding just goes out the window. We just forget all about it. It's just meaningless. It's empty words. And this is the problem that we face. That we have as yet find it very difficult to integrate understanding and intellectual knowledge into our hearts. So one way of talking about cultivation or meditation is like building a bridge between your brain and your heart, so that you're experiencing these truths of impermanence and unpredictability and so on and so forth in your present moment awareness, not as a philosophy or as a theory, but it's something you feel in your being. And I think that is the way.
So what the words here was actually clear about meditation and Vaishnavasa. So my actually from my side, I feel that it won't be complete without having a meditation here under the guidance of let's say your guidance. And since I really like to compliment on your Bhagavad's voice tone, it's very soothing and enlightening. And we'd like to have your voice in your mind as well. So I would like to request for a guided meditation, yeah, where we can have a little experimentation so we can get our children with the voice in our heart. Thank you.
Okay, is that generally agreed upon? Everybody would like? Okay, to begin with, a couple of words about posture, how to sit. So there are so many teachings on this point, but I would say there are only two principles here. One is that we sit straight, but not rigidly straight, naturally straight, like a tree. And secondly, we sit still. So whether you sit on a chair if you've got bad legs or bad knees, or you sit on the floor, whether you sit full lotus, half lotus, whatever, these are the two principles. And the reason is that the body affects the mind just as the mind affects the body. And as the mind is already very distracted, if your body is also moving around, it makes it even harder to still the mind. And if your body is not straight or you're hunched over, it's very much easier to become sleepy. So we want to create the optimum conditions. Optimum physical conditions means sitting still, sitting straight, and then it's also important to set up your mind mentally, just to talk to yourself a little bit and say, now is my meditation period, and I'm not going to think about the past or the future. I'm not going to think about my family, or if I have some pressing problem, I think about that some other time. This is the time just to put everything down, just for a while, just temporarily. It's like you're carrying a heavy suitcase, you just put it down for a while, just for a rest. Okay? Now the goal of meditation is not just to become peaceful. If you think I'm going to meditate to become peaceful, well, just when agitation becomes less, you'll just like that so much you'll get sleepy. So now we have set up the body and we have established our right understanding that we want to develop the state of relaxed wakefulness. Wakeful and relaxed. And as an exercise to develop this state, I would like you all, first of all, to observe, to be aware of the sensations in your head, just on the top of your head. What is the feeling there? Don't try to imagine it or to think about it, just the direct experience of your head. As you breathe in and you breathe out, what are the sensations appearing? Is there heat or cold or pressing or aching, or what is going on there? And now the sensations in your face. Bring your attention, bring your present moment awareness to your face, to the forehead, the eyes, the nose, the cheeks, the lips, the tongue, chin, breathing in, breathing out, developing a present moment direct awareness of this part of your physical nature we call the face. breathing in, breathing out in a very natural way. Now the sensations in your neck and your throat, training your mind to be able to awaken to, be aware of, present to the simple, normal, everyday sensation in the neck. Breathing in, breathing out. Now the sensations in your shoulders. Your shoulders are where tension tends to accumulate. Be aware, simply aware, without judgment, without liking or disliking, without thinking and imagination. Really aware of the sensations in your shoulders. Now develop the awareness of the sensations in your arms, following down from the armpit, down the arm to the elbows, the forearms, the hands, the fingers. Totally present, aware, without judgment, awake, relaxed, with the sensations in your arms and hands and fingers. Now bring attention to your chest. What are the sensations that you are experiencing right now as you breathe in, as you breathe out, in the chest area? Now in the tummy, the belly area, as you breathe in, as you breathe out, what are the sensations? There's no right sensations or wrong sensations, there's just whatever is present right now. We're awakening to the nature of our bodies, the nature of our existence, without philosophy, without theories, merely training our awareness in the present moment. Now bring your attention to the back, and from the base of the neck down the back, aware of any sensations that are present as you breathe in, as you breathe out. Observe the sensations in your bottom, sitting on the seat, pressure, whatever sensations are present, merely aware as you breathe in, as you breathe out. Now bring the awareness to your legs. From the top of the legs, the thighs, the knees, the calves, the ankles, the feet, the toes, breathing in, breathing out. Now spread the attention and feel the present moment as experienced in the physical body from the top of the head right down to the feet, without focusing on any one particular part of the body. Just feel as you breathe in, as you breathe out, the whole body breathing. As you breathe in, feel the breath in every part of your body. As you breathe out, Feel the breath in every part of your body, leaving the body. Breathing in, breathing out. Totally aware, present to your experience. This is the real world, the world of experience, not the world of memory or the world of imagination. This is the world as we experience it. Nothing to do, nowhere to go, nobody to be. Experience the present moment as you breathe in, as you breathe out. Awake, aware, relaxed. If your mind does wander, become restless, don't worry, it's quite normal. Just very gently, very firmly, bring the mind back to the present moment. Now, if you are experiencing some sense of contentment and interest in this present moment awareness, the next step is to focus the awareness on one particular point in the body. The point should be one in which you can experience the sensation of the breath very clearly, very comfortably. Now, rather than being aware of the breath and being aware of the different parts of the body as you breathe in, all of your focus is on this one point, and you're establishing your awareness like a gatekeeper, being present as the breath comes in and as the breath leaves the body. There's no body breathing, there's no person breathing. Just a natural process happening by itself. Our duty is to be awake and aware, recognizing the nature of the in-breath and the out-breath, sustaining attention for the whole duration of an in-breath and the whole duration of an out-breath. Stage, you may be simply aware of the sensation of the breath, training the mind to be aware without distraction, or you may count the breath, the effort to be not too tight, not too loose, just right. Okay, so that's enough for the meditation this afternoon. So did you enjoy? Yes. For your information, I have given a number of short teachings and reflections on meditation and other topics which were put onto YouTube. So if you have access to the internet and you look up my name on YouTube, you can listen to some more.
The last words of wisdom, anything
you'd like to tell us? I think no more words of wisdom except to encourage you all to give some thought to the value of the things that I've been saying today. The Buddha once said to his disciples, there are two ways of showing respect for me and devotion to me. One is to offer flowers and incense, and I'm not so keen on that, the Buddha said, it's alright. But what I really like is when people listen to the things I say and put them into practice. And if you do that, then that is the true puja, is the dharma. It's the patipati puja, means the puja with practice. And I've been a monk now for 32 years, and I started off like most Western people with rather critical mind, and I met my match in the Buddha. I've never been able to find a single teaching the Buddha taught which I've been able to prove wrong. So I have great confidence in his teachings and his practices, that they do work, and they work for everyone. And it's not just for man or for woman or for Asian or European. These are universal psychological principles of development that we can all take from the Buddha and Buddhist tradition. And if we want to use them in a more secular idiom or environment, that's fine. They're there for everyone to make use of. So for your own happiness and welfare, and for happiness and welfare of your families and your students, I wish you every success in applying these principles.
On behalf of the Ministry, Minister of Information, and particularly on behalf of my colleagues, I'd like to offer our deep reverence as well as gratitude to the Venerable Chancellor of Bhikkhu. And once again, thank you so much.